I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so today is another in my Getting the Band Together series. This is based on a talk I did at MagicCon Amsterdam, where I talked about every single card that I ever made that got banned or restricted. The reason I'm doing the series is when I did it as a talk, I only had an hour, and so I was just speeding through things. But these stories are interesting, and they actually go on a little longer than that. So I'm actually doing a multi-part series. Obviously, I'm up to part four to sort of walk through all these different things and give you a more in-depth version of what happened. Okay, so last we left, we were up to, let's see. I think we had talked about Gifts Ungiven. Had we talked about Gifts Ungiven? That's where I have it marked. Well, this is where my... So, I did this, the first three parts before. I did 2 weeks away, going to MagicCon Amsterdam and going to San Diego Comic-Con, both of which there are podcasts, either you've heard already or they're coming, that I've recorded. So I'm going to start with Gifts Ungiven. I hope I haven't told the story already. If I did, I apologize. Oh no, did I tell the story? I think I did tell the Gifts Ungiven story. So we're going to move on to the one after that. So, February 2008, Band in Commander, Band in Commander was Kokusha, the Evening Star. Four black for a 5/5 flying creature, and when it dies, it drains five life from every opponent, or every player, I think, every other player, and you gain all the life that's drained, all the life that's lost. Okay, so Kokusha is interesting. So I was not actually on the design team for Champions of Kamigawa. In fact, I wasn't on that whole block. I wasn't on any of the design teams. But I was on the development team. And the dragons actually got made in development, not in design. So obviously, Champions of Kamigawa, we were doing top-down Japanese mythology. Dragons are a big part of Japanese mythology. So obviously, we wanted to include them. So the plan was to do a cycle, but we were really sort of talking about how to do something cool, new and different. So one of the things that we talked about is, what is the down, like, where's the negative part of having a dragon? Like, oh, dragons are pretty cool. They're big, you get them out, and tend to win the game when you attack with them. And so I said, well, I guess the thing you most dislike is when someone kills your dragon. So I said, well, what if we made a dragon, and that if you attack with a dragon, it's good, because it's a dragon. And if somehow they get rid of it, well, that might be good for you, too. And so the idea was to put death triggers on it. So the idea is it's a big creature. So this creature, it's a 5/5 flying creature. And so, you know, if I get this in play, and you don't deal with it, I'm probably going to win the game, right? It's a big flyer. But if your opponent does have an answer to it, well, it does come with a pretty good ability, which is, it's, you know, making your opponent lose life or your opponents in a multiplayer game and you gaining life. So it turns out in a traditional commander game with four people, when it dies, they're losing a combined 15 life and you are gaining 15 life. So each one's losing 5 and you're gaining 15. I guess that was just a little bit strong for commander. But the idea behind it was pretty fun. And the dragons went over really well. Because we had done before, the interesting thing was, we had done in Invasion dragons that had attack triggers, which is like, oh, what's fun to do with your dragon? Attack. Well, let's reward you for attacking. And this was just a different take. It's sort of like, well, attacking itself is fun. Doing 5 damage is fun. But, you know, what happens if they get rid of it? So, anyway, that's where that came from. I thought that they actually turned out pretty well. Okay, next. September of 2008. Band in Commander. Grindstone is an artifact that costs 1. It's from Tempest. You 3 and tap. You mill 2. And then if the 2 cards you mill match in color, you get to mill another 2. So this came about from a couple of interesting places. I've talked about this in previous podcasts. I liked Millstone. Millstone was fun. I like alternate win conditions. And so I do like milling. I also like sort of things that have a little bit of surprise to them. You don't quite know. Like things that have... So there's a card in Unglued called Elvish Impersonator. And it's 3 and a green, and then you roll 2 dice, and 1 die is its power, and 1 die is its toughness. And the reason that card is so much fun is there's so much, what is it? I don't know what it's going to be. What's it going to be, you know? And sometimes you get a 6-6, and sometimes you get a 1-1, and there's a lot of drama there. So I like the idea of, what if we made a millstone where you didn't know how many cards would get milled? And I went through a couple different things. Like, I looked at, like, oh, what if I mill and flip a coin? But in the end, the one I decided to go with is, since you're milling 2 cards, it seemed cool that we care about the 2 cards that you're milling. And since there are 2, matching made the most sense. Like, okay, well, these 2 things... I did explore the idea of them not matching. But that the problem is, when we did the math on it, not matching would just, you know, could mill most of their decks sometimes. Where matching... In a 2-color deck, matching didn't happen too much. Now, in a mono-color deck, it happens a lot more. And there'll be another card I'm getting to later today, when combined with this card, that allows you to mill out your opponent's entire deck. So this card in a vacuum, I think, was innocent enough. It was combined with something else that caused it problems. But anyway, I do like I said, I like the little mini game. I like the idea that you don't quite know what's going to happen. There's drama. I'm a big fan of drama. I have a whole concept that I've done a podcast on called Narrative Equity, that one of the fun things that games can do for you is create stories. And this is the kind of thing that is a great opportunity to create a story. Most of the time it's going to mill 2 or mill 4. Like, most of the time it's not going to mill that much. But every once in a while, you know, you just get lucky and then you get to tell a story. And I'm not talking about comboing with the other card. I just mean, like, honestly, like, I do it and I happen to hit, you know, 3 times in a row. That's really cool. That doesn't happen all that often. So it's exciting. But anyway, that is where that came from. Okay, next. June 2009, Ban in Commander. It's Braid's Cabal Minion. So 2 black, the legendary minion, creature, it's a minion, 2/2. In the beginning of each player's upkeep, they sacrifice an artifact, a creature, or a land. So one of the things that we do is there's normally a story that goes along. And in this particular case, it depends. Usually the story gets written after the cards are made. But we at least get an outline of sort of the main characters. And for Odyssey, this was Kamal was the main character. He was a pit fighter in the first book. And so there were a bunch of different pit fighters. So Braids was one of the pit fighters. And the idea of Braids was she just was this mono black mage that was destructive to the nth degree. And so the idea of the problem with playing against Braids is Braids just constantly destroying things. And it turns out that, like, if you build around that, like, meaning you build things that you can get rid of that are of minor consequence to you, and your opponent, you know, is starting to lose more and more consequential things, Braids can be pretty good. In fact, I think in Commander, as a Commander, I assume it was a little too strong, which is why it got banned. I will stress, by the way, this came up in the notes on my... So all the stuff I'm talking about, my actual talk was put up on video. It's up now. You can go watch it. I got a lot of notes on it. One of the things that I'm good at is understanding how I designed them. One of the things I'm bad at is knowing why they were banned, because I was not usually involved in why they're banned. And I'm not as involved in all the formats. So, like, I can't... there's some cards where I sort of made a guess of why they were banned, and I was just wrong. I mean, usually they're powerful, but... So anyway, I apologize. Like, oh no, it was banned for this reason. That's not my area of expertise. Okay, next. 2009, Restricted in Vintage. Thirst for Knowledge. So it costs 2 and a blue. It's an instant. You draw 3 cards, and then you discard 2 cards unless you discard an artifact. Okay, so this card has a very interesting origin. So I believe this was, I think, in Mirrodin. So we were caring about artifacts. And so blue, starting in Alpha, blue always had card drawing, Ancestral Recall, Brain Geyser, and we liked the idea. I mean, we had a mix. Blue's card drawing was really good, so we had to be a little careful with it. But the point is, we liked card drawing. And then we realized there was a second thing, what we call sort of sifting or card. The idea is where you're drawing and discarding cards, where it's not necessarily you're going up in number of cards, although sometimes you are, but the idea that you have options and choices and selections. And card filtering, another term for it. Card filtering is an important part of blue. So the idea was I was interested in making a card filtering card that rewarded you for playing artifacts. Because the idea essentially is if it's an artifact set, blue especially likes playing artifacts, is there a way to do different blue spells and make you play, you know, reward you for playing artifacts? So anyway, I was thinking about this. I'm like, okay, well, clearly a card filtering spell, I'm going to draw cards and discard cards. Okay, well, if I want to care about artifacts, I could say if you have an artifact in play, but that's a little, I don't know. Like I like when the things you care about are, like, the cards you're interacting with are the things you care about. So I have to discard cards, right? Well, if I have to discard cards, I could care about the discarded cards being artifacts. That felt a little bit different. And then I was trying to think of the reward, and then there was just such a clean reward, which is draw 3, discard 2, unless you discard an artifact. So the idea was that if you had an artifact, it saved you. It sort of, you got to draw an extra card. Normally, the spell is, you know, I'm drawing 3, discarding 2, meaning I'm going up one card. I'm placing the card that I'm casting, but I have utility. I'm upgrading my hand. But if I discard an artifact, now I'm going up cards. Now I'm drawing more. I'll end up with more cards than I started with. And so the idea there, it was a pretty cool technique, and it was something we liked so much that it's become a go-to, like, thirst for blank has become a structure we make. I think there's 4 of them, and I'm sure there'll be more. I discard a land. Oh, I discard a creature. You know, I can discard different things. And so it allows us to sort of make, it's a neat way to make a card filtering card that just cares about some element that you care about, and it can vary from set to set. But anyway, it's a nice, clean design. That one of my favorite things when you're designing is where all the component pieces come together and it does something that's just clean and simple. And I could have done a filtering spell where I said filter, but if you control an artifact, draw an extra card. Like, but it's not as clean. One of the things that's so nice about design is you want all the component of the cards to sort of refer to each other. And by making the artifacts part of the discard, it just makes it one, it's like one singular thing. I am filtering. And I can choose what I discard, and that matters because artifacts matter with this card. But anyway, I'm very proud of that card. Obviously, whenever you make a card and then we make many more of it, it's a sign that it's a pretty good model. So, okay, December 2009, Band and Commander. We get the companion to Grindstone, Painter Servant. So Painter Servant costs 2. It's an artifact creature. It's a scarecrow. It's a 1/3. And it allows you to choose a color. When it enters, you choose a color. And then everything, in every zone, is that color. And so it just turns everything into the color of your choice. What I sort of explained is there are a couple things that I really enjoyed. I mean, there's lots of things in Magic. But in Alpha, there's a card called Sleight of Mind. And Sleight of Mind lets you choose a color. Color word, technically, I guess. And then you can change one color word to another color word. And over time, there was more of choose a color. I think choosing a color is quite fun. And there's a cycle of cards in Legends that allowed you to change any number of creatures into the color of the card. So, like, the blue one lets you change any number of creatures in play to blue. And I had endless fun making decks where, like, it mattered. Because that cycle, they all cost 1 mana. And most of the time, changing color of creatures just isn't worth a card. But the little Johnny and me loved making decks in which, oh, it was worth a card. And so it was definitely a lot of fun. So the idea of being able to name a color and the idea of trying to change colors both attracted me. So this card was just me sort of, a lot of cards you can see me sort of stapling 2 things together. It's like, okay, when this comes to play, I name a color, and then everything's that color. Now why, the interesting question is, why did I make it all zones? Why not just everything in play? And the answer was I wanted to interact with the graveyard. I wanted to be able to get back color to things from your graveyard, I believe. And it also, I think we had effects where you could reveal your hand. I don't know. It just felt like there's cool interactions. I did not think of, I think Painter Servant King of Shadowmoor, so it's after Grindstone. Grindstone was in Tempest, I believe. So I never thought of the combo, I'll be honest. So the combo basically is, I play Painter Servant, I name a color, all things, and all cards are that color. So now when I use Grindstone, it just mills out the library, because every card in their deck is that color. And so it's a 2-card combo to just sort of destroy a player or get a player out of the game, because I'm just, once they can't draw, once they enter the library, their very next turn when they can't draw, they'll lose. It's a good case, by the way, of, I don't think the two cards individually are really problematic. Although I guess Grindstone did get banned before Painter Servant got banned. So maybe Grindstone had some problems. Together, obviously, they're quite potent. That's a good question for me, because they were banned a year apart, and I know of them as a combo. So, I'm not 100% sure what happened there. Okay, June 10th, Band of Commander, Staff of Domination. So this was in Fifth Dawn. It's an artifact that costs 3, and then it has 5 activated abilities: a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5. I'm gonna go backwards just for drama purposes. So the 5 tap draw card was the very first thing. I knew I wanted to draw a card. Normally it's 4 and tap to draw a card, but those are cards in which that's all the card does. And so because you had other abilities, it felt like, okay, it has to be a little bit harder to draw a card. So that made it the 5. I think the next one I did was the 2. I wanted to do gain life. 2 tap, gain 1 life felt right. Then I ended up doing 4 tap, tap target creature. I thought that was useful, but it's pretty good, so it had to cost 4. And then it allowed me to do 3 tap, untap target creature. And then the cool part, and I'm not sure when I came up with this part, but this is one of my favorites, is 1 is just untap this card. So the idea is that I can reuse these different abilities. Like, if I have enough mana, I can do all sorts of things. And the thing that's really fun about this card is, because of the functionality, it can do 4 different things. It can gain you life, it can tap the creatures, it can untap creatures, it can draw you a card. So as much mana as you have, you can optimize all your mana. And obviously, that proved to be quite good. It got banned in Commander. But anyway, in design, we do a lot of sort of aesthetical number things. You'll notice that this is a really good example. What's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? This is really hard on play design, by the way, because when you make this, you're not giving, I mean, you can change what the artifact costs, what the card costs, but I'm really locking them in, and it definitely makes it tricky to work with. This particular card worked out really well, and I think it's a lot of fun, but most of the time when we start doing tricky things with numbers, they often get changed just because it's hard to keep up. Okay, next, June 2010, Band and Commander, Sword of the Meek. Okay, so Sword of the Meek costs 2. It's an artifact which equips for 2. So if the equipped creature is a 1/1, oh no, sorry, equipped creature gets +1/+2, and whenever you play a 1/1, you can return this artifact from the graveyard to the play attached. So this card was inspired by a card in Legends called Pendlehaven. So Pendlehaven was a land that tapped for green, and it tapped to give +1/+2 to a 1/1 creature. So the reason I have fondness for this card, so way back in the day, before I got to Wizards, there was a period in time after Legends came out where, due to a bunch of cards, the Abyss, Nether Void, they're just, people weren't playing creatures. Like, literally, like, the standard environment was don't play creatures. And I'm a contrarian, a deck builder. So I'm like, I'm building a creature deck. So I made this little green-blue weenie deck. The idea, essentially, is mostly I get out a Scrib Sprite or a Flying Man, I make it really big, and I kill you relatively fast. And so one of the things about it is, in order to do that, I'm giant growthing, and I'm using Unstable Mutation to make it bigger. But then I have, because I can only have one, I have a Berserk in the deck, which doubles the power. Berserk's from Alpha, doubles the power of the creature. Creature gets sacked at end of turn. But usually if I'm using Berserk, I'm going to kill them. And with Regrowth, which I also only have one, there are times where I could Berserk, Regrowth, Berserk. The deck had the ability to get a lot of mana. So the ability to take your 1/1 and turn it into a 2/3 before you start adding things to it is valuable, because I was going to Berserk it, sometimes double Berserk it, so it just gives me extra damage. A lot of time, the key to that deck was I needed to take them out in one turn, because the Berserk was going to kill my creature. Not that I couldn't survive that, I could, I had other creatures, but you know, so just trying to do as much as possible. And then the nice thing about Pendlehaven is it taps for green. My deck played, it was a green, you know, green-blue deck. There's really no downside to it, or minimal downside to it. And it just made my, just let me do more damage. So I really like that card. I was inspired. We were making equipment, and I liked the idea of, this is a little card that really likes 1/1 creatures. Now, obviously, you can equip it on anything. We're trying to make it a general equipment. But the idea that it comes back from the grave when you play a 1/1, I thought it was pretty cool. It also lets you do fun things, like you can sacrifice it, and you know, you can get it back. So, anyway, a fun card. Okay, which brings us to August of 2011. Banned in Modern, 6 cards. I think my record at one time was during Mirrored In, where I got 8 cards banned. That's my high. It's not really a brag. Things went horribly wrong, and I made a lot of the cards. Okay, so in August 2011, banned in Modern, Ancestral Visions. So Ancestral Visions has no mana cost. It is blue, though. It has suspend 4 for a single blue mana, and it's basically Ancestral Recall, which is an instant that says target player draws 3 cards. So the idea on this card was suspend was a mechanic we did in Time Spiral. I actually invented it before Time Spiral. We made it and realized that it had more value than just being, like, it wanted to be a whole mechanic. The idea that I can trade time for mana, that, oh, my card can be cheaper if I'm willing to wait for the card. And one of the things we realized is that we could mimic some powerful cards. In fact, we made a cycle, a 6-card cycle, because it's an artifact, where we could mirror powerful cards. And the idea was you had to suspend it. It didn't have a mana cost. The only way to play this was suspending it. So the idea is Ancestral Recall for blue. So I it's the same cost as Ancestral Recall. The only thing that's different is I'm giving up time. And in this case, I'm giving up 4 turns. Well, it turns out on turn 1, we have nothing better to do. Casting Ancestral Recall, even if it takes 4 turns to get the cards, is still quite strong, and why it got banned. But it was a fun cycle. And the other thing that was neat was, in Time Spiral, there were some cards on the reserve list that we couldn't reprint. Like, we did the bonus sheet of old cards. But this allowed us to sort of make nods to them without actually reprinting them. Next, Bitter Blossom, 1 and a black enchantment. Beginning of your upkeep, you may pay 1 life. At beginning of upkeep, lose 1 life, and then make a 1/1 flying black fairy rogue. So I made a card called Phyrexian Arena the year or two before. Phyrexian Arena, you lost a life to draw a card. So I liked the idea that... So Phyrexian Arena was inspired by Necropotence. Necropotence lets you pay life for mana. This was like, well, it's kind of like every turn you get to do it once a turn. Very powerful, very popular. So we were just making a deck. We were making... This is Morning Tide, I believe. And we were caring about... One of the decks was fairies and rogues. And so I was just trying to make something that the fairy deck would want to play. And so it's just the idea of, well, let's just take the same framework of Phyrexian Arena, and instead of a card, you get a creature. And it turns out, I thought a creature was slightly weaker than a card, but actually it's pretty on par, I guess. Constantly getting 1/1 creatures, especially in a deck that cares about the fact that they're fairies, was quite powerful. Okay, Dread Return. 2 black sorcery. You put a creature card in your graveyard onto the battlefield, and you could flash it back by sacrificing 3 creatures. So flashback was a mechanic that I made during original Odyssey. The story, I've told this many times, but the real quick version is I used to run the feature matches at the Pro Tour. I did a lot of sitting around watching people play, and whenever I would watch a match and one person got way ahead, it was kind of boring, I would make up special powers for the person behind just to imagine what would they do if they had that. And one of my special powers was the ability to play cards out of your graveyard. And that seemed neat. So I ended up putting that... Odyssey had a graveyard theme, so it seemed like a good fit. So once we did that, early on, all the flashbacks for mana, we started messing around with alternate mana costs. I think the first one we tried was on a white card, a Battle Screech, I think, where you tapped white creatures. Well, this one made you sack creatures. I thought it was kind of cool because it's getting creatures back from the graveyard, but its flashback cost puts creatures in the graveyard, and you get 1 creature back, and it makes you sacrifice 3 creatures. So The idea essentially is you're not really going up in creatures, but you can go up in utility. And the fact that you don't have to pay for it, once again, one of the through lines on this whole series is things I do that get banned and restricted. Avoiding paying mana, either generating mana or avoiding mana, meaning letting you do things way before you should, quite powerful. And in fact, many of my banned cards fall in that category. Another popular category is drawing a lot of cards. Okay. Golgari Grave Troll. 4 and a green for a 0/0 creature that enters with a +1/+1 counter for every creature in your graveyard. 1, remove a +1/+1 counter, regenerate it. And it has Dredge 6. Now, the most powerful thing about this card might just be the Dredge number. So, when I made Dredge, so Golgari is one of the, it's the black-green guild in Guilds of Ravnica. So this is original Ravnica, the very first Ravnica. Ravnica, City of Guilds. So, we had four, there was Boros, there was Selesnya, there was Dimir, and there was Golgari. We figured out the other three much, much faster. We spent a lot of time on Golgari. We knew we wanted to be grave-oriented, black and green, Shadow of the Grave, and we made a whole bunch of mechanics. So the dredge that I turned over was that it said, anytime you would draw a card, you may instead draw this card than the card you're going to draw. And then I just made them on the weak side. I think originally the first one I made was four and a green, so 5 mana for a 3/3. That's just not very good. 5 mana for a 3/3 is nothing to write home about. But late in the game, when I have lots of mana, hey, sometimes I want a 3/3. That sounds great. And so that was the original idea of Dredge. We handed it over. Brian Schneider was the lead of the development team. And I guess they wanted it to have a little more going on with it. So what they did is they added a number to Dredge. And what it meant was, whenever you played the card, you had to mill that many cards. So Dredge 6 meant whenever you got it back from the graveyard, you had to mill 6 cards. And so the idea was, is that right? Yeah, you had to mill 6 cards. So I think, what happened was right. So as you dredge, you start getting more dredge cards into your discard pile. Which made it much more, the idea is I dredge, and as I dredge, I just get more and more dredge cards in my graveyard, and now I have more and more choices of what to draw. Anyway, I do think that the version of Dredge that got printed was a very interesting version, and I thought they added an element to it that was cool. I don't know whether they made it more powerful or not, but anyway, that is Dredge. Next, Umezawa's Jitte. It's an 2 mana for an artifact equipment. Equip 2. Whenever an equipped creature deals combat damage, you get to choose between one of 3 things. The equipped creature can get +2/+2, target creature can get -1/-1, or gain 2 life. Okay. I should stress, I'm not the balance person. Whenever I hand cards over, there's a whole other team that's supposed to balance the card. So, on some level, things being unbalanced isn't exactly sometimes I make things that are so hard to balance that, you know, they get unbalanced. But anyway, the interesting thing about this card was when I made this card, there was a slight difference. Notice it's an equipment that costs 2 to equip. And one of the abilities is +2/+2 to the equipped creature. One of the abilities is gain 2 life. The third ability was not -1/-1. It was add 2 black mana to your mana pool. So you'll notice 2, equip 2, +2/+2, draw, gain 2 life, 2 black mana. So there's a little 2 theme I was running through it. It turns out right near the end at editing, they caught and realized that adding mana causes some weird things in the rules. And basically, it was the wrong time to add mana. The mana was being added at a weird time. And so they ended up having to change it. And so on the fly, they change it to -1/-1. Now, I don't know if the card is broken, even if it's 2 black mana and not -1/-1. But I do know the -1/-1 is very good. So that change, I think, is the thing that helped push it over the edge. But I'm not 100%. Like I said, why things are broken is not my forte as much as how did I make them in the first place. Okay. Next, Valakut, the Molten Pinnacle. So this is a land from original Zendikar. Tap to add R. Oh, comes enters the battlefield tapped. Tap to add R. And then whenever a mountain enters, as long as you have five other mountains, it deals 3 damage to any target. So it's like a lightning bolt. So the idea was we had landfall in the set. So landfall cared about when a land entered. So at rare, we wanted to do things that were a little jazzier. And so I thought it'd be fun to do kind of a landfall, but for mountains. And not just any mountain, but like once you have enough mountains. So once you have 6 or more mountains, you start getting a free lightning bolt. That felt pretty cool. And so I feel bad. In one of the previous podcasts, I talked about the Talarian Academy cycle, where I didn't make Talarian Academy, but I did convince him to make it blue and Sanctum white and Gaze Cradle green so we can make a 5-card cycle, land cycle. The red card in that cycle is so bad. Ben Bateman asked me, Ben Bateman did an interview with me, and one of his questions was, why is it so bad? Why'd you make this? So I like the fact that at least there's one land cycle where the best one in the land cycle is red to make up for the bad red in that cycle. Okay, next we get up to September 2011. I realized something. I am driving into work. Okay, I think I'm going to, we're at 30 minutes, and I'm driving into work as we speak, so I'm going to wrap it up for now. So anyway, guys, I hope you are enjoying this series on all the band restricted cards that I made or had a big hand in. But as I'm at work, we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see y'all next time. Bye-bye.